Yeah, if you didn't, it's over. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's sing a song. God has smiled. I believe that he has. Yeah. Will my God. Oh, yes, he smiled on. Yes, he's been. God been good to me. Yes, it was amazing. Yes, how sweet that saved a wretch like me. Well, I was lost. Oh, yes, but now I'm found. Yes, was blind, but now I see. It's all because my God. Oh, yes, he smiled. Thank you, Lord. I believe that
he has set me free.
Who will my God? Oh, yes, he smiled on
me.
Really, he's been
good,
yeah, to me. Amen, amen, amen. We want to welcome each of you to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, especially if you're visiting with us. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. So if you're tuning in by way of television this morning, thank you for stopping. We hope we can say something that will touch you, that will prick your heart. If you have a question, you need to talk to somebody, pray with somebody, call a number on your screen. Those of you that's joining us by way of live streaming, welcome also. Thank you for tuning in, and let's all worship our great God. This day, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We began a lesson series a few weeks ago entitled Everything You Want to Know About the Church of Christ. And this is actually lesson 3 of that series, Everything You Want to Know About the Church of Christ. I don't know if we can give everything, but we try at the beginning of each year for the past few years to give foundational lessons that will help us as children of God, as Christians, to make sure we're in line with God's word as a church body, as the body of Christ that comes together, that we do not lose our identity, which we try to keep in line with God's word, with the word of God, to make sure that we are following the word of God. And we don't believe that any church will do. And we don't believe that every church is the same, and surely we certainly don't think we're any better than any other church. But we want to make sure that as we worship God here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, that we're being pleasing to God. And so we try to give foundational lessons to not only to those of us that have been in the church a while, but to our young ones as they are bombarded with so many different teachings and will be bombarded as they continue to grow, as they continue to go to college. And some people will ask them, well, what are you? What's your faith? What do you believe? And we want them to have a solid foundation to know what the Word of God teaches and what we teach here as a body of Christ. And so we want to answer some questions. We know that there are some seekers watching by way of television, and you tune in and you hear things, and we want to make sure that we are teaching what comes out of God's word. And so if you have some questions, you jot them down. If you have some things that you want to ask afterwards, you're welcome to do that. Some individuals have already gotten some of my notes from the past lessons, and that's all right. We also post our sermons online for you to listen to at your own convenience. And so today, everything you want to know about the Church of Christ / decrees or practices. We covered the foundational lesson. The church was in the mind of God before God created the world. According to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verses 11 and 12. And it is through the church that God displays his great wisdom to the whole world. It's the church is the mechanism by which God demonstrates to the whole world what his purpose is, what our purpose is, and what our future is. And he does it through the church. The church was blood bought by Jesus Christ. Acts 20 and 28. He purchased it with his own blood. So for people to diminish the church, the ecclesia, the call out of the world, for people to diminish it and say the church is not important, they don't know about God. Your thinking is really wrong if you think that the church, you can take it or leave it. Well, you can, because we are created in God's image, and God made us different from the birds and the elephants and the tigers and the bears. He gave us the ability to choose, to make decisions, to make choices, to choose what's right and what's wrong. And he wants us to choose him. But he's not going to make us. He's not going to twist our arm. If you come, it's whosoever will, let him come. So we covered the foundation. Then we talked about on last week the organization of the church is the organization of the church and how the church is organized. And we cover the organizational structure that the church has elders and elders who are the bishops or the shepherds or the overseers of the church. And the deacons, who are the servants, special servants of the church, all of the evangelists, who is the preacher, the proclaimer, the guard line of holding the word and teaching the word and preaching the word and exhorting and encouraging the congregation, and the saints, all of the members, all of us having a part in the worship and work of the Lord. And so we talked about the organization. And today, we want to get into some of the practices, some of the decrees. Is there a protocol? Are there instructions on how we are to worship and what we are to do as the Lord's church? And so we won't have time to cover it all, but we'll cover some. And if the Lord says same, we may finish the next week, but we'll see about that. Listen to the word of God. Everybody's all right? Are you ready to study God's word? Acts chapter 16. Beginning in verse number 4, Acts 16, verse number 4. This is not a go to sleep lesson, if you will. You woke up early this morning, stay up with me for next time we finish this lesson. Acts chapter 16, verse 4. Now, I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Now, while they were passing through the cities, this would be Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And in other occasions, it would be Paul and Timothy as they're passing through the cities. They were delivering the decrees. Everybody say decrees. See, some of these passages, people don't even think in the Bible. See, they were giving it. See, the definition of the word decrees, the Greek is ordinances. Listen, these are commandments. And later on, you'll see both oral and written commandments. And here they're passing through the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles. Now, the apostles, all the apostles have passed on. They're dead now. And the elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. Now, well, so, Brigari, who gave the apostles authority? Jesus did. Matthew, I want to read some of this. Some of this I can quote, but I want you to, this is working. I want you to see the scriptures, okay? Matthew 28, 18. Listen, and Jesus came, won't you see? And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, this would be the 11 apostles. Judas has been committed suicide by this time. He says, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Can anybody else have any authority? Jesus has all the authority. It's been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, he's talking to his apostles, make disciples. That's learners, pupils, students of God's word. We all, if we're a follower of God, we must stay a student of God's word. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Notice this. You baptize them. They become disciples. They haven't arrived. They're not in heaven yet. They still got some other things they need to learn. He says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's where the apostles got their authority. Straight out from Jesus and Jesus alone, who had all authority bestowed upon him by God the Father. And he says, I want you to baptize folk, and I want you to keep teaching them everything I am commanding you. That's where they got the decrees from. And if you went to the book of Acts in chapter 1 and read verse 3 through 4, when Jesus was resurrected from the grave, he came back to the earth and he spent 40 days teaching the apostles things concerning the kingdom of God. How he wanted the Christians to behave, how he wanted them to worship, what he wanted them to do. He taught them that. And here we have Paul. He's going through the cities now. The churches, some of the churches have been established. They've been baptized, but they hadn't been taught thoroughly what all of the decrees were. Go back to your text verse 5 of the same Acts 16. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith. And so a church who is lacking in knowledge of God's word will be a weak church. Amen. It'll be a weak church. And we don't want our church. Now, we know that you know, when we baptize, we don't know everything. And even in the church, we have babes in Christ. We have some folk, if you've been here 10, 20, 30, 40 years, you ought not be a babe in Christ. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. Now, we have to be tolerant of each other, but we do not want to stay. This church has been here for a long time. I've been here for a long time, and it's time for us to grow up. Amen, somebody. Amen. And so you can handle some meat, can't you? Amen. Not all of us, but some of us can handle some meat. And so the church was being strengthened, and that's what we want to be. We don't want to be babies. That's why some things we talked about on last week, I went to leadership. Some things you shouldn't still be calling me the wrong names if you are a mature Christian in the Lord. Amen, somebody. Amen, amen. Go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians 2, 13. This is also written to the church at Colossae and to us today. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together, having forgiven us of all our transgressions. It's talking about our former life before we were in Christ. Then it says, verse 14, having canceled out the certificate of debt. See, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was a covenant full of laws and ordinances. And he says, the certificate of debt. And that was a lot of thou shalt not in the Old Testament. And that, not that if the covenant was bad and evil in and of itself, it's just it was difficult to do all of those things and all of those laws. It was difficult to even keep up with all the laws. He says it was debt consisting, notice this, of decrees. The Old Testament had decrees against us, which was hostile to us. Notice, see, that's one of the confusions. That's one of the fallacies of even our religion today. That individuals don't understand that we're not under the old covenant. We're not bound by the laws of the old covenant any longer. Now, listen to what the scripture says. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. See, you don't want to go back to that old law. You don't want to go back to that old law of sacrifices and all the things that they had to remember and things that they had to do. We're under a better covenant today. Listen to one of the Old Testament decrees. He tells it. Now we're still in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 this time. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. All of these were Old Testament decrees. You couldn't eat certain foods. You couldn't drink certain drinks. You had to obey all of these festivals, the Tabernacle Festival, the Passover Feast, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. You had to, then he says, a Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was the seventh day, the day that they rested. They couldn't do any work. They had to do certain sacrifices on the Sabbath day. He says, now you're under the new covenant. Don't let anybody put you under a guilt trip. Don't let anybody judge you and tell you that you have to keep all of these laws now under the new covenant. You see, you got folks today who, and this is just knowledge, and we're not down talking about anybody. Well, you have folks today who still are trying to keep the Sabbath today. And that is not a law that we are bound by today. Because we're now under the law of Christ. Listen. This was the law in the Old Testament, Exodus 31:16. So the sons of Israel, first of all, if you're not a son of Israel, you shouldn't have to keep it anyway. If you're not a Jew, the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. That was an Old Testament decree. Listen, we're under the new law. So we are here today on the first day of the week. But why are we here on the first day of the week? Because that was the decree that the apostles got from Jesus, and the apostles gave it to us. How do you know that? Acts chapter 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week. The first day of the week is Sunday. The seventh day of the week is Saturday. Under the Old Testament covenant, they didn't worship God the same way we do on the first day of the week. They did their worships and their ceremonies on the seventh day. But now we're on the new covenant, under a new decree. And so that's why you as a Christian, us as a child of God, we should never, ever miss the assembly, the saints coming together on the first day of the week. Why, Brother Gary? Because the apostles got it from Jesus. Jesus gave it to them. They gave it to us. We are obeying God. Amen. 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 And so on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together, why did they gather together today? To break bread. We're going to break bread in just a little while. Now, every church does not break bread on the first day of the week. Amen. You know, now, some do it the first Sunday or the fifth Sunday. Or some do it once a year. Once a year. And, you know, that's their choice. Yes, that's their choice. But so now we're talking about this Church of Christ. We're talking about the Fifth Ward Church of Christ right now. And we're going to take it every week has a first day. Now we know the apostles. Now listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection of the saints. Notice this. Paul says, as I directed the churches of Galatia. Note, this wasn't just for one local body. This was for all the churches in Galatia. He said, just like I'm telling you, I'm told everybody else. He said, on the first day of the week, each of you were to come together. You see, at this time, it was a special collection, he says, to get set aside as you prosper so that no collection. They already were coming together on the first day of the week. It was directed by them. He says, now, when you come together, I want you to take up a special collection for the saints. And so he told this to all the churches. So we know all the churches in the Bible met on the first day of the week. That's clear. That's a decree that they got from the apostles. And I don't know why some folk want to defy it today. But we're not going to do that. We're going to meet on the first day of the week. And I hope if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, I know if you're providentially hindered and you can't come, that's one thing. If you're sick and you can't come, that's another thing. But if you're healthy and you well and you can walk and you can go to work Monday and you're a Christian and a child of God and you choose not to assemble with the saints, something wrong with that. And you are not being pleasing to God. See, a decree is a commandment. It's an ordinance. Yes, I know when I was young, my parents used to make me come to church. They did. He did. I didn't have a choice. I had to come. Now, sometime when I was young, I used to say, well, boy, I can't wait till when I get old enough, I'm going to miss me some time. But I learned better. I learned better. See, sometimes we do because somebody else is out of habit. But when you study that word, the word of God will convict you. And I hope it do. I hope if you when you miss services, I hope you can just hear Acts chapter 20, verse 7. I hope it's just ringing in your mind. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. I hope Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 rings in your mind for that we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And so we follow that decree to meet on the Lord's day. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brethren, Paul writing to the Thessalonica church, stand firm and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. That's what Paul told. No, and see, when we look at the word tradition in our day, we look at it as, well, that's something that's passed on. It's a tradition, but it's not a command. No, the Greek term, the Greek translation for the word tradition in the Bible is a word that means precept, commandments. It's not you take it or leave it. And Paul says, he says, stand firm. And some people say that, you know, and many churches of Christ teach the same thing, but not all teach the same thing. We might as well admit that. But listen, but he says this, you stand firm. And some people say, well, but Church of Christ is a little too conservative for me. I'm glad that's a compliment. We need to be conservative because we need to stay with the word of God. Notice this. And he said, now see, brother, and as a preacher, I'm the evangelist. The elders are the overseers. Something we have to stand. Some people, well, why we can't do that? Why we do? Why we? Well, no, we're going to stand firm on this. Yeah, yeah. And it takes a little backbone to stand firm. Amen, somebody? It does. Listen to what else he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 11, 2. Now I praise you. He's talking to the Corinthian church, because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions. Notice, just as I delivered them to you. Yeah. So if he said that, he must have had some decrees, huh? He must have told them some things to do. Well, he did. And one brother told me one time, he said, well, Brother Gary, Paul wasn't the original apostle. Let's see, yeah. But Paul was handpicked by God. He was an apostle chosen out of season. You know, and then Paul had to get some folks straight when he was writing some of his letters. Sometimes listen to what he said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, I was on the Damascus. God struck Paul down he says, you will be my chosen vessel. And Apostle Paul, boy, he did his job. Lord, thank the Lord he did his job. Yeah, now, let's see. Go turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. I'm going to end on time. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. And I want to get into a few of these decrees. It says, now even the first covenant had regulations. The first covenant had regulations. That's decrees. That's laws. Notice, of divine worship. And the earthly sanctuary, under the old covenant, they had a certain way that they worshiped. And he gives some of the details of how they worshiped and what was included. He says, so there was a tabernacle prepared. Under the old covenant, the tabernacle was the word for tent, a temporary dwelling. And you know, and the Israelites, when they traveled, they had to pitch this tent to for the God to worship, an outer one, in which there was a lampstand. I started to bring all of these elements in here, and there were so many, I'd say, no, I'm not going to drag all that out in here today. That lampstand, the table, the sacred bread, this is called the holy place. Behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle, another tent, which is called the Holy of Holies. It had a golden altar of incense, and the Ark of the Covenant, covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding manna, Aaron's rod, which budded, but they were all in the Ark of the Covenant, the tables of the covenant, the ten commandments, a table of stones. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. But of these things we cannot speak in detail. This gets detailed. You get a chance, you read Hebrews chapter 9 and see all the elements that were included in Old Testament worship, in the tent and the tabernacle. Now, well, those were decreed. Well, brother, why we don't have those today? Because we're not under the old law. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, listen to the New Testament. Listen to the New Testament decree. 1 Corinthians 14. I wish I had time to read this whole chapter. 1 Corinthians 14. Because Paul's writing to the Corinthian church and he was answering some questions from them. They wrote to him about these spiritual gifts, and everybody had all of these gifts, and you know, folks were craving some gifts, and you know, like they were special because they had these gifts. And he says, what is the outcome then, brethren? He said, when you assemble, so this is definitely in the context of worship. When you assemble, each one has a song. And he's talking about these gifts. And in the New Testament, early New Testament, God did give, he had miraculous gifts that he gave to many of the saints. Remember now, they didn't have the complete word of God like we have it today. And so the word is, the gospel is being spread. God gave gifts to different individuals. Some of them could sing very well. He says, one has a psalm, one has a teaching. Some have the special ability given by God to teach. Has a revelation. A revelation is something you don't study for. It's something that just comes straight from God. You don't have to study. God gave some people messages that he specifically gave to them. The prophets, he did that to. It says, some has a tongue. Some had the ability to speak in languages that, a tongue wasn't jibber jabbers. Yeah. Amen. I need to say that. Because see, some people today speak jibber jabbish. I don't even know if that's a word or not. And I'm not making light of it, but some people speak in, but God, you know, let me be careful, because I don't want to belittle anybody. Amen. Listen, and I mean that. But see, a tongue in the Bible was a language. You might not understood it on the day of Pentecost, when the apostles, when Peter and the rest of the apostles, they spoke in languages that everybody, that the people could understand their own language. And it was a tongue. No, I don't have time to go there. But some people had the gift of speaking in an unknown tongue to some of those that were there. Notice this. Let me continue to read. And some has an interpretation. They can't speak the tongue, but they could interpret the tongue. These were the different gifts that God gave in the New Testament, in the early church. Well, listen to this. But Gary, do you believe in tongues today? Well, I definitely believe in tongues. I believe that God gave the gift of speaking in tongues. And they were definitely for a purpose. Well, I notice when I come to church, I don't never hear anybody speaking in tongues. Yes, there is a reason. Let me finish reading. Don't get quiet on me. Let all things, he says, let all things be done for edification. Paul was trying to help the church. They were growing. The church was growing. People had all these gifts, but everybody wanted to use them. People had the wrong motives. Just like today, God gives us gifts and talents, but you use it for the wrong reason. It don't bless nobody but you. And he said, let all things but be done for edification to build up the church. Verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, he said, now, for you tongue speakers, he said, if you can speak in a tongue, it should be by two or at most three. He talking about in the assembly. He said, everybody, I don't need everybody in the church speaking in tongues at the same time. That's disorder, amen. Paul said this back here. He said, and then let's limit it to two, maybe three. Then he goes on to say in verse, and each in turn, what he says, one at a time. Amen, somebody. He says, and one must interpret. But Gary, you believe in tongues? I believe that tongue speaking was a gift in the early New Testament church. No, what about today? But if somebody can speak in tongues, if somebody does have the gift of speaking tongues, they won't speak it in here unless somebody can explain what they're saying. Amen. 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 Now, let me tell you why I think that the gift of tongues speaking today has been done away with. Let me go to the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse number 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8. And this is Paul. He's still addressing them about the gifts. And he's telling them, he said, look, love never fails. Amen. Charity never fails. Y'all craving all of these gifts, but remember, if something is not done in love, it don't count. Yeah. To love always outlasts. He said, but if there are gifts of prophecy, and there were gifts of those who had the prophetic, who had the revelation from God they didn't study for, if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. I don't believe that a brother, I know I don't have the gift of prophecy. The lessons that I preach and I teach, I have to study for. I've tried it a few times sitting on the side of my bed. Lord, give me something. It just don't work. For me, I don't have that gift. It says they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. I believe they ceased in our time. See, no, he says, there is, if there is knowledge, and it's not talking about knowledge. That was a gift of supernatural knowledge that God gave to some people. He says, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. He said, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. Now we have the complete, perfect will of God. Where is it, Brother Gary? Right in our Bibles. The Old Testament and the New Testament. We can study. Our faith can be built on the Word of God because we have the complete Word of God. And that's why I don't believe we have those who speak in tongues today. And if I'm wrong, somebody that's speaking tongues, I don't know where you are. When you come speak in tongues, make sure you bring your partner with you. That can tell us all what you said. But let me. So in this Church of Christ, we don't speak in tongues. Not right now. Let the Lord show us something else, and He hadn't showed it to us yet. Amen. 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 Now there are some decrees that people don't that you know some people have a problem with. But they still in the Bible. Matter of fact, we're in a text right now. I'm going to stop at time, my right time. We're in a text when we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He's talking about, listen to what else he says in this text. And this is one decree that we practice here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Now, if I continue to read, you would see that he says to the tongue speakers, he says, all this confusion, if there's confusion, you need to remain silent. That's what he says. And then he goes on to say in verse 34, the women ought to keep silent in the churches. Now that's going to get a wrinkle from, especially folk watching on television. Because you know there are many women preachers in different churches. And you know, look, I know somebody already called, boy, yeah, he's this chauvinistic, yeah, this bald-headed man. Well, Paul told Timothy to preach the word. He said, you be instant, in season, out of season. And so I'm going to preach the word. He says, the women are to keep silent in the churches. Now, and some people say, well, that was cultural. Well, he says it twice in the word of God, clearly. In this same context, they're talking about the assembly. Now, he's not talking about hush, quiet, women can't sing in the church and can't, because there are other instances where we see that women even teach the younger women. And he tells all of us to sing. I haven't even gotten to that yet. All of us to sing. But he said, in a sense, now notice this, if you just go back up in the text, he says, first of all, some of you got a tongue, you got a psalm. And he was talking about individuals who actually were doing this on their own. Folks standing up speaking in tongues in the church, just people have a revelation. I got a revelation in the Lord's church. People in the church singing, they got a song, two or three people, one person singing, another person, well, I got the spirit, I'm going to sing. No, sit down. He says, be silent. And then he says, in that light, the women are not to do that anyway. In the assembly. Now, you know, our church, I believe we have the best women in the right way, not the man, not the dirty mind way. Our women who serve and do wonderful things in the name of the Lord and serve, and they know their roles. Amen. Sister KB is beautiful. She can talk with the best of them. That Sister KB is my wife, for those of you that's watching on web television. But Sister KB is not the co-pastor of the church. The Bible doesn't give her that authority. No. And by the way, Sister KB is not the first lady of the church. Amen. Somebody, well, she's the first. No, we don't have any first ladies in the Church of Christ. Well, excuse me, in this Church of Christ. I need to say that because we ask, you go to some church and they say, listen, the Bible says God has no respect of person. I mean, we all the same. We don't need to be, you know, that's just dangerous territory you're getting into. And so, no, we respect, and I want you to respect my wife. Don't dog God now. Yeah, because then you're in my bad corner. But it says the women are so we don't have women preachers at this church. No, we don't have women preachers. I know there are women preachers every, you know, and that preach and do other things. Now, women can do a whole lot. And listen, this is God's decree. Why are you messing with God's decree? That's like God created a man can't have a baby. Isn't that right? I heard Brother Ed say, thank you, Lord. I'm with you on that, brother. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Lord, for that. I don't care. You know, some folks go, I don't know why God didn't make a man need to be happy to have a baby. Well, he can't. You can get mad. You can't change. Now, I'm sure it's somebody trying to change it. That's God did that. Amen, somebody. And look, there's another. I'm telling you, you know what? I wish that this, the Bible says the husband is the head of the wife. Some people don't even like you to read that in scripture no more. But it said, even as Christ is the head of the church. I'm telling you, sometimes I wish I wasn't the head. Yeah, there's a lot of responsibility with being the head, amen? But I just because I wish I wasn't, I still am. Notice, I'm still accountable to God. I want to read the rest of this just for doctrinal teaching's sake. Listen to what the scripture said. It said, the women are to keep silent, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to be subject themselves, just as the law also says. Yeah. Now, and then listen to what else Paul says in verse 37 of the same text. He said, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. See, there were some folk back then that were resisting that. That were saying, you know, I don't think that that's what that means. It's a prophet. Well, you know, I got a revelation from God. I believe that God, all people are equal, and God would allow women to preach. That ain't what the Bible said. It doesn't diminish the intellect, the value of a woman. We are displaying what God's will is in the church. Now, we need no more men to stand up and be men. I know that. Amen. And some of these women, see, that's what, like some of the women would follow us, brothers, if we leave. Yeah, they wouldn't have a problem following us. I heard have some sisters tell me sometimes, okay, I wish my husband don't pray. He don't leave pray at the dinner table. We haven't had no Bible classes. My husband said, I just wish he would leave. Amen. That's why, and you know what? That's why some of these women are preaching. Amen. That's why some of them are preaching. Yeah. And so I hope you now. Paul says this again in 1 Timothy. Some will forget. That's just one incident in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12. He said, "I don't allow the woman to teach nor exercise authority over the man." And the church said it. So that's why you know we have men as urchin around here. That we do it because it's an authoritative position. And so we got enough. If we got enough sisters, ain't you glad that you don't have to stand up all day long back there? So if we got enough men, and the men will be men, the sisters want to sit down. Amen, somebody. And so and some people say, well, no, women can do that. Well, we think that's an authoritative position, because when you at that door, you sit here, you go here. No, don't you can't leave. Now that is an authoritative position, isn't it? And so we say, well, look, let's let the men serve. Not that we're chauvinistic. We love our women. We love our females. There are many things that women can do in the name of the Lord. There are many women saints in the Bible who were great in God's eyesight. But he gave us this role. And so we're standing firm. Yeah, we're just trying to follow the scriptures. That's all we're doing. I hope you wouldn't hold it against us, but if it's too much for you and you can't handle it, that's what we're gonna be doing. Amen, somebody. I'm smiling from the inside and the outside, trying to hold to God's word, and I'm saying that in the presence of all of us, because see, some of us we think we kind of backwards in it. Yeah. Let's see, I got a few more minutes. I don't know if I, see, listen, Old Testament decree. The Old Testament, the priests were of the tribe of the Levites. They were the tribe of the Levites only. Only the Levitical priesthood could serve in the priests and serve in the temple, even do things in the temple. Under the new covenant, we are all priests. Listen, male and female. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, if you need prayer, if you're a child of God and you need somebody to pray for you, then you know what? You really can pray for yourself if you're a child of God. Now, sometimes our burden is heavy and we want somebody to pray for us. And that's all right. You want the elders to pray for you. You want me to pray for you. Even when you sin we don't have to wait till a special day in the week. We don't have to make a trip to a building. We don't have to go to a box. We don't have to confess our sins to no man. Under the new covenant, we can pray for ourselves or have one of the brothers, one of the sisters to pray for us. Under this new covenant, that's a beautiful decree. I don't know about that. Listen, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I sin on Tuesdays. And I might not make it to Saturday or Sunday. And I need a prayer to go up Tuesday evening at 7:30. Amen. Right now. Lord, forgive me of all of my sins. Amen. Old Testament decree. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 8. The Old Testament, their decree was they gave their offerings were tithes and often tithes, a tenth. As a matter of fact, they had more offerings than that. But they were specifically commanded to give a tithe. Now, under the new covenant decree, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to read it. Verse 6, I'm going to start at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Then he says, every man, he uses the term man, it's generic, it's man or woman, according as he purposed in his heart. Our theme this year, loving God with all of our hearts. He says, as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loves a church. There is not a commandment under the new covenant for us to give a certain amount, a tithe, an offering. You won't find it in the new covenant. But God does say, give from your heart. Amen. Amen. Some people, I'm glad that's not in there, because I can't give a 10. Well, see, it's a gut check for you. Every time we give to God, it's a heart check. It does. How much do we love God? God say, don't give because you think you gotta give to me. You don't gotta give to God because God already got everything anyway. I mean, everything, the cattle on a thousand hills belong to God. This, your paycheck that they making out in your name, God owns the company. Right. Amen, somebody. He not only owns the company, he owns the bank that the company puts their money in. Amen, somebody. Not only does he own the bank that they put their money, he owns the land that the bank is on. God owns the weather that control. God owns everything. And he says, when you give, I want you to give, not grudgingly, nor thinking you got a gift to me, because I already got everything. But he says, give us your purpose in your heart. How much do you love me? Yeah. And see, it's God's way. When we collect money, we'll collect money just so we collect money for the church. See, and we it's a free will offering. That's what it is. But you remember that the church is God's mechanism whereby he demonstrates his manifold wisdom to the whole world. Amen. See, you know what I'm saying? We stingy in the church. Our demonstration gonna be stingy. You know, we give a little to the church. We can't do much with a little. We cutting off our own blessings. God says it's more blessed to give. Yeah, it's a faith thing. But we're talking about New Testament decree. So you won't ever hear Brother Gary hammering, I want everybody this Sunday to give a tent. I'm going to start it off with $100. Have you ever heard me? You ever heard one of the elders here say something like, matter of fact, some people tell me, I like coming to Fieldwood Church? Because y'all don't be begging and hamming folk out of money. I've had people tell me that they come out of denomination. At my church, they have 7 offerings. And listen. That's why we as individuals, you need to study God's word. Don't let nobody put a guilt trip on you. Don't let nobody take nothing out your pocket that ain't supposed to be taken. Excuse my bad English. But at the same time, you always look at your heart. See, man, people say you can tell a whole lot about people by where they spend their money. Because sometimes we say, well, yeah, I just don't have it. I'm just broke. Can I look at your checkbook for just a second? I don't want to look at your checkbook, but just look at where you're spending your money. Amen. Amen. So we don't beat folk over the head, but we do great works in the name of the Lord. Amen. And we will continue to do great works in the name of the Lord as long as we give to the Lord. Give as we prosper, give from the heart. We don't say, that's some members of our body right now that give 30% of their income. Well, amen. Yeah. See, that's some people come in here some Sundays and give a whole check. What? Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. I got about 25 more minutes worth of material, and I only have 2 minutes left. I think I'm going to just stop. I know some places you want me to go, but I don't want to rush through them. And so I'm going to finish, if the Lord say the same, next Sunday, because I know some people, we're good. I want to know why y'all don't have no piano up here. So can I stop? But you got to promise, if the Lord say the same, you got to promise that you're going to meet with the saints if we all still living next Sunday. You have to, too. That's why we're watching by way of television, that you're going to tune in. Tell somebody else to watch also that's at home. Tell them that Brother Gary is going to explain why in this Church of Christ we don't have instruments of music. That'll get them. That'll make them watch. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you need to be. Amen. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Without faith, it's impossible. Pleasing me that comes to God must believe that he is, a reward of those of them that diligently seek him. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, Luke 13:3-5, if you're willing to confess Christ, the sweetest name that you could ever confess, if you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins, then you too can be added to the church the way they did it in the Bible. No additions, no subtractions. And you will be added to the saved according to Acts 2:47. All the saved are in the church. And you too can be added to that church. If you're here and you need to have a prayer request, you need us to pray for you, we will pray for you. Be more than happy to do that. Even right now, as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Oh, why will you linger,
wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not
the invitation,
unprepared to meet thy God.
Careless soul,
oh, careless soul,
oh, heed thy warning,
heed the warning,
for your life
will soon be gone,
will soon be gone,
your life will soon be gone,
oh, how said,
to face the judgment,
to face the judgment,
to face the judgment,
unprepared
to
meet thy God,
to meet thy God.
Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by and birth is spent in folly? Oh, prepare.